This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this evening, TSN1290.ca. Good evening, universe, and welcome to a special Tuesday edition of NHL Midweek. It's our playoff preview show. 3 hours. It's that special, we needed to add an extra hour. 3 hours of hockey talk for you as we get you set up for the entirety of the NHL playoffs, looking at every series that's going to take place in both the Western and Eastern conferences, and of course, spending particular time focused on the series of most importance to Winnipeg Jets fans, the Jets and the Ducks. Thursday night, 9:30 from Anaheim, is puck drop of Game 1 of the first playoff series back here in Winnipeg for the Winnipeg Jets 2.0.
I bet Drew will be asleep by the middle of the second.
No, I'm going to be awake. I didn't fall asleep through one game, any of the late games earlier this year. I'm feeling good about myself. I'm feeling strong. I've actually taken the last 2 days off work to catch up on my sleep so that I can be sure that I'll be awake for the Thursday game and the Saturday game.
Drew, just don't take a nap before the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, there you go. I'll wake up in time for Saturday's show at 3 o'clock or something. Anyways, Drew Mandel alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. We start with the Winnipeg Jets and the Anaheim Ducks, of course. And, you know, as we were on air on Saturday with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, we did not know which of the two, who was going to be the Winnipeg Jets opponent. We knew it was either going to be the Anaheim Ducks or it was going to be the St. Louis Blues. So let's start with that question. Do you think that this is a good matchup for the Winnipeg Jets heading into the first round of the playoffs?
People seem to think so, Drew. I mean, I've seen more predictions that the Jets will win than Anaheim will win. I was of the belief that St. Louis is the better team than Anaheim, but their goaltending, to me, is questionable. We'll talk about that later in the show, and that I would have preferred to play against questionable goaltending. Not to say that Anaheim has Dominic Hasek, but I actually think that Anaheim's netminders are a little bit better than maybe some people are giving them credit for, both Anderson and Gibson. So, I don't know. Is it a good matchup? Their goal differential wasn't great. I mean, obviously, they succeeded a lot in one-goal games. It's not the worst matchup. I think it's a pretty even matchup, but I don't think it's just Jets win the end kind of thing. And you're still going up against a team that has a bunch of guys that have won the Cup or have gone to the final. And that experience, I think, will be quite important.
Yeah, Richie, we're going to go over, you know, the forwards and the defense and the goalies. And, you know, as we go out here throughout the hour, it seems there's a bit of an alarm going off here in the studio. Maybe that's just when I come on the mic, the alarm goes off. But I think it just went off, so I think we're good.
Well, I've been alarmed many times when you've spoken, Ezzy. Well,
I don't know if that was necessarily caught on from the listeners. But anyways, you know, to follow up on what Richie was saying there, I think, you know, I've looked, you know, at both these teams here over the last couple days, even, you know, since we found out on Saturday. And to me, this series is very even. And the other seven series, Drew, you could say the same thing. I don't think there is one single series this year in either the Western Conference or the Eastern Conference that you can say that one team is clearly that much better. I'm not saying that we won't see a series end in five games, I'd be shocked if one ended in four games, Richie. But when you talk about the Anaheim Ducks, they obviously finished first in the Western Conference, but only finished 10 points ahead of the Winnipeg Jets. That equates to five wins. And with the extra points, I think in both conferences, the most disparity there'd be from first to eighth was something like 9 points when you take away the overtime and the shootout wins. So the Anaheim Ducks, you know, they have the star power with Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry, and you could say that they have the advantage, but aside from that, whether it's goaltending, defense, or forwards, I don't think either team has the advantage. And, you know, as we go through it, I think the Jets right now would probably have the advantage in goal and on defense, and I would probably give a slight edge to the Anaheim Ducks when it comes to their forward group. And then when you throw in the power play and the penalty killing, the intangibles, I think, you know, you could maybe give the Jets a slight advantage. But this series, I'd be shocked if it goes any less than six games. And, you know, back to your original question, I think it is a good matchup because the St. Louis Blues, I think, when they're healthy, are probably the deepest team in the West.
What's your key matchup if you look at the forward group? Well, we're going to look at the forwards this segment, then we'll look at the defense and the goaltending in the second segment, and we'll look at the special teams and the coaching in the third segment before we're joined by Dan Wood, the Anaheim Ducks radio analyst, at 6:45 this evening. You know, what's your key matchup among the forward groups here?
Do you mean forward against forward or forward against defense? I mean, I think the big matchup in the series, I mean, there's a couple of them that I think are very important. I think the biggest, I mean, there's, you look at the Getzlaff line against the Little, I think Little line, I'm going to match it up against that line. I think that's important. I feel like Anaheim is going to throw Kessler out against Scheifele and that line all series. I feel like Kessler, I think rightfully so, that's probably the most dangerous offensive line the Jets have. I think they want they want Kessler to check more than they want Getzlaff to check, and he does a better job of checking than Getzlaff does. I think they probably believe that Scheifele is more susceptible to getting in. Scheifele is more susceptible to falling for Kessler's kind of mind games than a guy like Little, who's far more mild-mannered. Scheifele can get a little emotional, which I think actually helps his game in terms of his development, but may be an issue here. So I think that matchup is going to be huge. Ryan Kessler is used to playing big-time minutes. His minutes were scaled down a bit here in Anaheim, and I think one of the reasons for that was they knew what was at stake later on in the season. They didn't want to tire him out. So that's going to be a huge matchup for me.
Yeah, Richie, I think it's pretty obvious here for anybody, and whether you're picking the Ducks or the Jets, the key matchup and the key to the series is, can you shut down the big boys? And Patrick Maroon is going to play left wing with Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry. And, you know, Richie mentions that the Ryan Kessler line will most likely be matched up against the Scheifele line, and you know, that scares me a little bit. Ryan Kessler is one of the best faceoff guys in the league. Mark Scheifele has struggled in the faceoff circle. He's gotten better over the years. And, you know, when you talk about the Andrew Ladd, Brian Little, Michael Frolik line, that line has struggled a little bit down the stretch.
Yes,
and you know, Brian Little was obviously injured a little bit there, Richie. But to me, from the flip side, from Paul Maurice's side, looking at who he's going to match up, I think, you know, maybe he looks at putting Adam Lowry, a strong physical center, up against that top line and trying to, you know, get in the face of Ryan Getzlaff. I think that, you know, when you're talking about Brian Little taking faceoffs against Ryan Getzlaff and that line going up against the Ryan Getzlaff line, I think that's going to be a nightmare. And I think, you know, switching to the D pairings, I think that to me is going to be interesting to see. Does he go with Tobias Enstrom, Paul Maurice, that is? Does he go with Tobias Enstrom and Tyler Myers against the Getzlaff Perry line?
I don't think he can.
Or does he decide to go with Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba? And I think you go with Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba because they're more physical.
Yes.
And I think when you're talking about Jacob Trouba, I think, you know,
he's so important in the series.
He's shown time and time again that he can play that shutdown role.
You can do Byfuglien and Sherratt too.
I was going to say, I was going to interrupt and say, what about Byfuglien and Sherratt? I mean, Byfuglien's obviously got, you know, the biggest of the Jets defensemen.
Yeah.
You know, not strictly height wise with Tyler Myers there, of course. But I mean, you're looking at the Ducks top line, and when they're, you know, you're going 6'4, 220 with Getzlaff, 6'3, 212 with Corey Perry, and you're going with Patrick Maroon, 6'3, 230.
You know, to answer that, I think, you know, Mark Stewart, we've seen time and time again, he has no problem. He might be a little bit, shorter than Buff and Sherratt.
Yeah,
but we've shown that he has no problem with the physical game. Neither does Jacob Trouba. Jacob Trouba's 6'2", 220 pounds.
And so those guys aren't fast. They're big and they're strong.
Right.
They're all slower. Like, I mean, Getzlaff can get going when he's moving.
Yeah.
But Maroon's not a great skater.
Well, they do the majority of the work, you know, from the hash marks down.
That's right.
As in most series, Drew, you go down the roster, and, you know, this Ducks team is still pretty deep. And Rickard Rakell, if you remember, when the Ducks played the Jets in January, had 4 points in the Timu night game. And, you know, he's usually on the line with either Andrew Cogliano and Jakob Silverberg, or they might put Kyle Palmieri on that line with Cogliano and Rakell. And to me, you put Dustin Byfuglien and Ben Sherratt against that third line, and, you know, they play a little bit more minutes. We know that Dustin Byfuglien, even though he can play the big minutes, I think ideally you'd like to have his, maybe conserve his minutes a little bit because you know he's going to play more on the power play. So I think that, you know, these matchups to me are fascinating. They're really fascinating in a lot of series. To me, it's going to be so close in this series, and I think you're going to see, you know, adjustments as you do in any series, and it's going to be so close. It's to me, I've gone back and forth trying to find reasons for each team to win. I don't see this game, this series going less than 7 games. I think it's going to be that close. And I know the Ducks won all 3 matchups. I don't read too much into
that. They won one of those matchups in a shootout and one of those matches in overtime. So with the exception of that Saturday night game at MTS Center, when it was actually a close game, and then Michael Hutchinson was in net. Yeah. He had that giveaway behind the net, and that was sort of the beginning of the end there.
Yeah, it was 5-2, I think, that game.
Yeah, I believe that was the score. The other two games were you know, coin tosses, as you see, with a shootout win and an overtime win. The overtime game at MTS Center was probably one of the best regular season games this year.
It's a good game.
It was a Sunday afternoon. It was the, I guess, 6 days before that Saturday night game. They played that twice in a week at MTS Center, and that was one of the best regular season games we probably saw over the course of the season. You know, Matthew Perreault still not skating for the Jets. Matt Halaschuk, you know, doing line rushes in his spot on the Jets' third line.
Huge difference there.
Well, the house. If Perreault's not able to go,
it's significant in terms of scoring ability of the third line, and it's even more significant in terms of the top power play. Scouting reports are very important. Matthew Perreault's got a real nice shot, and Tobias Enstrom doesn't. And if you don't think that the Ducks are going to read the scouting report if Enstrom's playing the off wing on the 1-3-1 umbrella there, you're wrong. And they're going to give him the shot, and they're not going to give as much room to Perreault if he's there. So that will change the format, and you can cheat more to Buffen for the one timer. You can cheat into different spots, and that's very important. So his it changes your bottom six guys. I mean, I know Stempniak can put the puck in the net, but maybe you probably move Tulusti up there.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I was surprised that, I mean, you know, and who knows? I mean, it's possible that he's just taking these rushes, you know, as, you know, sort of just a placeholder, and they expect Perreault to be ready for Thursday. But if Thursday comes along and Perreault's not able to go, I would rather see Jiří Tulusti playing in that third line left wing spot than I would Matt Halaschuk, just because I know Tulusti hasn't been outstanding since he's been here, but he's got more talent than Matt Halaschuk does.
Yeah, and that's true. I can see that. And he's also a left winger.
Right.
Halaschuk's a natural right guy. He's played left there, though. But, I mean, that's a factor, Drew, for sure. I think it also depends on, you know, how you want to play with Lowry. Lowry's going to be not going to be a rush guy. Tulusi's going to score a little bit more of his points off the rush. There might be an issue there. But at the same time, he's playing with Slater and Thorburn as well. So that would be a big loss. Not insurmountable, but it would be important.
Right, and it's just another weapon. We should mention, too, you know, that Paul Maurice has been pretty steadfast in mentioning that Matthew Perreault isn't out long-term.
Right.
Again, that doesn't mean much. It probably means that he's not going to miss more than a couple games, you'd think, but you never know, because
he could be ready for Thursday, or he could be out.
I expect him to play.
Yeah. You expect him to play on Thursday?
I do, yeah.
I think there's a good chance, Richie. He's been practicing, and you know, we don't really know what the extent of the injury, how bad it is, which you don't know many times. So I think there's a good chance he plays game one, maybe misses two games. And it goes back to how that adds depth to that third line.
Since
Drew Stafford's come over, he's been so good with Mark Scheifele. And as Richie's talked about quite a bit on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show and NHL Midweek, Blake Wheeler has really gotten the best out of Mark Scheifele's line. Yes. And Brian Little, now that he's got some games under his belt, the Jets can really roll four lines, I think, even without Matthew Perreault. I know, you know, you might be a little bit hesitant to have Matt Halaschuk on the third line. One thing with Matt Halaschuk that you can expect, and it's maybe not the offensive upside that a guy like Jiří Tulusti has, he's going to work his butt off.
Yeah, and their fourth line's not that good.
Well, their fourth line is...
That's a big
thing, Thompson,
too.
Nate Thompson,
he's hurt,
we should
too.
Mention,
yeah.
is hurt. So it would be Chris Wagner who would be their fourth line center.
Yeah.
So I think even when you...
With Emerson Edom and Tim Jackman on either side for the...
Right,
probably.
And Emerson Edom's a player that from California that they've given a chance a lot, and he's kind of hasn't got as many offensive opportunities. He's a good player.
Yeah, he was a first-round pick.
I think, you know, when you... Again, I think back to the beginning of the segment, I think the Ducks have the star power and the better top line. I'm not saying it's significantly better, but those two players, you know, with the Stanley Cup and the two Olympic golds, not many lines can go up against that line when they are playing at their peak. You got to remember, too, Corey Perry's missed some time this year, about 20 or so games when he had that illness and the injury. And so we haven't seen the best of Corey Perry this year. But again, when it comes to the playoffs, Richie, time and time again, we've seen these guys step up. So, I mean, saw it in Winnipeg in December when it was the 4-1, 5-2 game, whatever it was, when Getzlaff had, I think it was 3 or 4 points. So that line is key. And as you get down to the depth lines, you know, especially with Matthew Perreault in, Adam Lowry, Matthew Perreault, and Lee Stempniak has been a good third line, and then Tulusti with Thorburn and Slater has been a good line. So both teams have depth at forward.
How did the Winnipeg Jets get that, you know, the Ladd, Little, Frolik line going offensively?
Well, how do they get it going offensively, Drew? I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, I don't think there's any one thing that that line needs to do.
So you're not concerned about their lack of offense?
Not too much. I mean, there's going to be less offense without Wheeler.
Sure.
And that's an issue. You're going to have less creative options on the right side. And Frolik's smart, but he doesn't skate like Wheeler. Certainly not as big as Wheeler and certainly not as good as Wheeler. So that's going to be a factor. I mean, you probably want to see him simplify a little more, just put the puck on net. That line also has to make sure that Andrew Ladd, you know, he had a real nice season, and Brian Little had a great season. Frolik had a real solid season. Ladd's got to be careful with the puck in his own zone. That's been an issue in the past, and those issues are under the microscope here in the playoffs. Be smart, get it off the boards, no backhands up the middle, no pucks up the middle, no turnovers like that. And that's cost them a few times this year. If they take care of things in their own zone, I wouldn't be too worried about it. They're going to need them to produce, don't get me wrong. But with the depth in the roster, and if Perreault does play, the pressure is less. And Anaheim's depth scoring, I mean, isn't great. The thing about Anaheim's guys is some of these guys have the skill to score in bunches, but they also... That also sometimes equates to cold streaks.
Well, Matt Bolesky, who was one of the hottest goal scorers in the entire league at the early of the year, then he went out with an injury.
Yeah, you bring him up. Matt Bolesky, to me, is the X factor for Anaheim offensively because he's big, he gets in on the forecheck, and he's got a great shot, and he's not afraid to go to the dirty areas in front of the net. And that is a key because if you can forecheck hard, and then your teammates get the puck, and then you back off into scoring areas, you can be very dangerous. Into shooting areas with his shot, it can be very dangerous. So he is the key. They have that three, they have that trifecta there, those guys, Kessler, Perry, and Getzlaf. We know about them. And guys like Silverberg and Palmieri, I mean, they can score. They're shooters, and they can play. But Bolesky adds, and Bolesky's a lot more talented to me than Maroon. He skates better than Maroon. If he gets off Schneiding and gets some confidence, he's a dangerous guy for the Jets.
He's also playing for he's an unrestricted free agent. So if he has a gangbusters of a playoffs, Matt Bolesky could be writing himself a very nice contract after this season.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, and the Anaheim Ducks, Drew, just quickly, you know, this team can hurt you. They've got scorers beyond Getzlaf, Perry, and Kessler, but really, once you get past the top scorers, it's not much of an advantage. I would give them a slight advantage. You know, Richie mentioned Silverberg and Bolesky, and then on the third line, you've got Cogliano and Palmieri, very strong on the wings. And, you know, not the biggest team, you know, after you get, you know, the few players we've mentioned, obviously Bolesky, Getzlaf, Perry, Kessler, these guys are big and strong and physical. But as we know, this is going to be a war, this series. I know everyone was thinking that the Jets and Blues was going to be, you know, potentially, you know, physical Armageddon when it came to the first round of the playoffs. This series is going to be physical, too. And the Ducks' defense might be a little smaller and not as physical as the Blues' defense, but this is still going to be a series where that is going to play a factor. And that's when, you know, a healthy Jets roster with Dustin Byfuglien healthy is really going to come in. We saw him, you know, physical against the Ducks when they played back in early January. And, you know, I think this is so close to call. I know we've seen expert after expert, you know, pick the Jets in seven.
The Jets,
you know,
to me,
there's a reason for that.
Based on the picks right now, I don't think the Jets, you could say the Jets are an underdog.
Well,
I don't think
Paul Maurice would disagree with you.
Well, he's going to play that card.
Of course,
because he's an expert politician. But, I mean, based on the picks, I've seen far more Winnipeg than Anaheim selections.
I have seen that, too. Let's head to break. When we come back, we'll look at the defensive side of the game between the Jets and the Ducks. You're listening to NHL Midweek. It's our playoff preview special on TSN 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
Welcome back to TSN 1290. This is NHL Midweek. We're continuing on with our preview of the Jets Ducks first round series. This segment of the show is brought to you by Frank Zappia and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty, official realtor of Illegal Curve Hockey. When 95% of your clients come via referral, it shows your commitment to honesty, integrity, and total dedication to client satisfaction. For all your real estate needs, come shake hands with Frank and Mauro Zappia online at zappiagroup.com or at 204-772-2100. Pleased to welcome them aboard as official sponsors.
Yeah, it's great to have them aboard.
Absolutely. Let's continue on with our preview of the Jets and the Ducks. As I mentioned, we're going to flip to the back end now. And we look at start with the Ducks defense, because we know the Jets defense. And we know that it's going to be Stewart and Trouba and Enstrom and Myers and Sherratt and Byfuglien. We know less about the Ducks defense. And they've actually gone through a couple of some changes to the back end. They picked up James Wisniewski at the trade deadline, ostensibly to help with the power play.
Mm-hmm. Which hasn't happened.
Which hasn't happened. We'll talk about the power play next segment. Yeah. Picked up Simone Dupre from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be probably their seventh guy, it seems, as they head into the start of the playoffs.
Really?
That's what I'm understanding. Maybe either him or Stone are going to flip-flop.
Okay.
But, I mean, they got a defense. They got Lindholm, Hampus Lindholm, and Francois Beauchemin.
That's their pairing. Been for a while. Veteran and youngster.
Yeah. Lindholm, former sixth overall draft pick in 2012.
They're right ahead of Trouba.
That's right.
Very good defenseman. Okay. We'll talk about
Cam Fowler, James Wisniewski. You know, Fowler was a 12th overall pick back in 2010.
Very talented. I don't know. Okay, keep going.
And then Clayton Stoner and Sammy Vatanen, or you might see Simone Dupre in there as well.
I'm Stoner and Vatanen played a lot together, Drew, and to me they're a bit of a disaster in their own zone at times, and that's probably more to do with Vatanen than it is to do with Stoner. But Vatanen's a very good puck mover. When you look at the second pairing there and Wisniewski and Fowler, that's where I wonder, is Wisniewski going to get in because of his power play prowess? Defensively, he lacks a bit. And Dupre is big and strong and pretty physical. Pretty solid. I mean, nothing special. I like Ben Lovejoy, who they traded away. And I thought him and Fowler were quite good together. So there's a bit of a change there. And I certainly think Lovejoy is better overall than Wisniewski is. But I'd be surprised if they left Dupre in the press box in the first game. The Jets are big up front. We know that. And they're pretty physical. And Dupre is one of their more physical guys. Fowler's big, but not physical. Lindholm, he isn't really afraid of physical play, but I wouldn't say he's the most physical guy. I have to seem a little bit more to make that comment more concretely. And then Stoner's very physical. It just takes him a bit to get there. He's kind of like Mark Stewart.
Clayton Stoner's very physical. He can drop the gloves as well.
Yeah.
I think, you know, this Anaheim Ducks defense is somewhat of a question mark, but lots of talent. And to me, it starts with Cam Fowler and Hampus Lindholm, who are on separate pairs. If you watched Hampus Lindholm over the last couple of years, and we'll talk to Dan Wood about Hampus Lindholm and Cam Fowler, this guy's a very offensively talented defenseman and surprisingly good defensively as well. Richie mentioned Sammy Vatanen, and he missed 15 games this season, and you know he still put up pretty good offensive totals. This group of defense, you know, Dupre and James Wisniewski were the ones that were acquired prior to the trade deadline. And they surprised us a little bit because we were thinking, you know, they kind of needed more of a kind of steady and defensive presence, similar to a Robin Regier, who actually retired after LA's last regular season game.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a
he got locked out of the dressing room.
Yeah, that's right. But, Drew, there's a lot of talent here on the back end. Richie mentions that it's maybe not as physical as the Jets, but when you talk about Francois Beauchemin, who might be in his late 30s now, but he still can lay a good body check. And you know, whether it's Dupre or Stoner there, those guys can be physical with the Jets' third line of Adam Lowry and Lee Stempniak, and whether it's Halaschuk or when Perreault's back. So, to me, this is a really talented group. It's a solid D group. You know, to me, the X factor is their ability to get offense from their defense, and that's been a problem, and that's why they went out and they got James Wisniewski. This power play, Rich, has struggled. They scored one goal in their last 11 games of the season, the Anaheim Ducks did, and it's been a power play that hasn't been very good all year. Getzlaff and Perry combined for 7 goals on the power play, when in previous years, I mean, you know, back 4 or 5 years ago, Perry used to get 12 goals on the power play. And, you know, so this D group, you know, I might give the edge to the Jets here, but this is a talented group. They can move the puck. This team thrives on skilled and fast-paced hockey. This isn't necessarily the type of team that is going to grind you down, similar to a St. Louis Blues or an LA Kings. But there are some question marks, Richie, when you get down to that bottom pair. But Sammy Vatanen, we've seen he can move the puck. I mean, he's you know, almost, I compare him to like a Tobias Enstrom, a little smaller than Lindholm. I really like Hampus Lindholm, and to me, you know, Lindholm and Beauchemin, I imagine they're going to want to get out there against the Scheifele line.
Mm-hmm. I think so, or the Little line, one of the two. Ezzy, I'd agree with that. Not the best defensively, this group. Move the puck real nice, that's for sure. I mean, all those guys that Ezzy mentioned, aside from Stoner, can move, especially if they play Wisniewski, can move the puck real nice and get it up to their forwards. We'll talk about the power play next segment, right, Drew?
That's right.
Some commentary I have on that in terms of kind of maybe why it's struggling. And
let me just jump in there. Ducks 19th in goals against in the NHL this year, giving up 226 goals. And then if you look at 5-on-5, they were 15th in the league on 5-on-5, for and against, whereas the Jets were 8th.
Yeah, the Jets were better 5-on-5.
The Jets were better 5-on-5.
And the Jets have the better defense.
Well, let's talk about the Jets' defense compared to the, you know, looking at as you deploy it against the Ducks forward group. And, you know, we've sort of seen we've seen sort of two different Jacob Trubas to some degree in the course of the year. You know, the first...
Not to some degree. We have. Yeah, we saw the first half Jacob Trouba, first 45, 50 games, and then the second part of the season Jacob Trouba, which was, you know, still an effective National Hockey League player, but not to the level that he was in the first half of the season. The first half of the season, there were games just completely dominant.
Right.
He's very important to this team's ability to succeed here, especially against Anaheim. I mean, if they are fortunate enough to beat Anaheim against the Sedins or a Calgary top-heavy team, we can worry about that later if it comes to that. But in terms of Anaheim and the size, I mean, if they're going to rely on, say, the Byfuglien pairing with Sherrod, I mean, Byfuglien will have some brain cramps, and that. Those Anaheim guys are pretty good on the cycle there. Mm-hmm. Take advantage of some over-aggressive plays to try and create offense, whereas Trouba takes care of his own zone a little better. He will be very important. I think overall talent level, I mean, you're talking about both really good puck-moving back ends. I mean, Myers, Enstrom, Byfuglien, Trouba. I mean, you're looking at even Sherratt makes it fine first pass. Stewart's not great with the puck, but similar offensively to Anaheim, but just better, I think. I think you have a more dominant player in Dustin Byfuglien and Myers. I mean, they're better. I think they're similar, but better. And so that's the place that the Jets need to take advantage of. I think both defenses, I think Anaheim's defense doesn't get as much support from their forwards as Winnipeg does. And that's a testament, I think, to Maurice and his system and the players buying in. Boudreaux's guys sometimes are, you know, you talk about space in their own zone is a little bit too much there.
Sure.
So I think that is an issue, too.
Well, Bruce Boudreaux's never been known as a defensive specialist when it comes to being a head coach.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be an edge for the Jets. So, yeah, I have some concerns if I'm Anaheim about that matchup.
As you talk a little bit about sort of the tale of two Jacob Troops, it seems to me that the last three games of the regular season, that last week, maybe the last four games of the regular season, we did see signs that he was coming out of whatever the little bit of the funk that he was in and sort of regaining the form that we had seen at the beginning of the season or for the first 50 games of the regular season.
Right, and when Richie talks about Jacob Trouba being a key part of the series, the reason why Richie's saying that is because whether or not Mark Stewart and Jacob Trouba are lined up against the Getzlaff, Perry, and Patrick Maroon line, or if it's the Ryan Kessler line, or even the Rickard Rakell line. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be a monumental task in shutting that line down. This Anaheim Ducks team might not be that much better offensively than the Winnipeg Jets, but it's still a very dangerous group. And I think, you know, this team, even though the Jets also had injury problems, the Anaheim Ducks did too. And when you talk about the Ducks defense, even though they had the experience last year, it's still a relatively young group. So you're talking Sammy Vatanen, Hampus Lindholm. These guys are in their second year in the NHL. And Simon Dupre really just established himself with the Pittsburgh Penguins mm-hmm. last year, if not this year. So I think the edge in experience to the Anaheim Ducks really comes down to the big boys, Getzlaff, Perry, and Kessler. And then you could throw in Francois Beauchemin, who seems to be in the playoffs every year with the Ducks. So I think that, you know, back to Jacob Trouba, I think that, you know, he might have struggled post-trade and, you know, he lived with Zach Bogosian and all that. And to me, he's shown the ability that he can take over games. And you want him to elevate his game to that level. That's what you're hoping for if you're Paul Maurice. And I think he's going to do it. I think he can possibly be, whether you want to call it the X factor or the difference between the Anaheim Ducks. If you're talking about Getzlaff and Perry being the X factor for the Ducks, it could be Jacob Trouba, because we know that Blake Wheeler is playing at his top level. But Jacob Trouba, I think, you know, there's a little bit to be desired there.
His problem, one of his main problems over the past 20 to 30 games has really been the speed on the forecheck, getting on him and taking away his time and space and him not adjusting to that. That will not be an issue here in terms of speed on the if he plays against that top line. They're not the fastest line. They're big and strong. So maybe that'll give him a little more confidence and have a little more time to make decisions, and then he can gain confidence from that.
Well, we've determined that the Ducks have a slight edge in the forward group. In the
I think you probably could call it a draw 1 through 12, but they have a slight edge top end talent
wise. Talent wise, and the Jets have a slight edge when it comes to the defense. When we come back after the break, we'll talk about goaltending, we'll talk about special teams, and we'll talk about coaching. You're listening to NHL Midweek. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
Whew. 25 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back to NHL Midweek. This segment brought to you by the Linden Market Dental Center, official dentist of Illegal Curve Hockey. Whether an elite athlete or a weekend warrior, a proper fitting custom-made mouth guard is a must-have piece of protective equipment. Don't be an Ezzy. Give yourself peace of mind protection as well as facial, teeth, and mouth protection. Contact the Linden Market Dental Center 204-487-2226 or online at lindenmarketdentalcenter.com. Continuing our discussion of the Jets and the Ducks, we look now at the goaltending situation between the two teams and as well as the special teams and the coaching. In terms of goaltending, there was some question entering the series if it was going to be John Gibson or if it was going to be Frederik Andersen. Gibson's been banged up, so he has not yet practiced, which leads me to believe, at least, that it's going to be Frederik Andersen in net for the Anaheim Ducks.
Just to follow up on that, Drew, sure. Just quickly, this comes from Eric Stevens, who covers the Ducks for the Orange County Register. John Gibson didn't practice today, so they used Jason LaBarbera as the backup. So just to further your point, there's a good chance it will be Freddie Andersen.
Yeah, so you look at the save percentages between the two teams. The Jets ninth in the league in 5-on-5 save percentage. This isn't just Pavlik. This is the entire Pavlik and Hutchinson posted a .928 save percentage. The Ducks 21st in 5-on-5 save percentage with a .919 save percentage. Looking specifically at Pavlik and Andersen, Pavlik a .927 even strength save percentage. Mm-hmm. Frederik Andersen a little bit worse at .920 on the even strength save percentage.
Just to comment on that, I know that some of the advanced statistics crowd, they like to look at even strength save percentage. And if you look at that, so you're talking 0.07 difference, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's insignificant.
Difference is 17 goals over the course of the season.
Right. And Drew, I heard, Huss talking about this with Leibel. They were talking about Andre Pavlik versus Michael Hutchinson over the course of the season and all that. The save percentage is, to me, something that you don't want to spend too much time analyzing. And if you go over, the 8 first-round matchups, Drew, you're not going to see that much of an advantage. And in the series that you might think there would be the most advantage, that being Montreal-Ottawa with Carey Price, Andrew Hammond's save percentage has been excellent. But Carey Price has done it for years and years and years. Yeah. Andrew Hammond's only done it in the NHL for a couple months, right?
Right.
So I think, when you look at the save percentages, Richie, Winnipeg has the advantage.
Save percentage to me is more important. I mean, even strength, obviously, it's less varied than, you're going to get your penalty kill and power play, more importantly, your power play save percentage and... That's something that's been around for a while. One of the things to look at, though, is I feel it's more comparable on a team basis. So how Pavlik plays versus how Hutchinson plays, playing in front of the same lineup, the same defenseman, same forwards, opportunities in front of that lineup, whereas team to team, there's a tendency in terms of how they play, and there are other methods that are better better at determining who is played better, but it takes more time, and the teams that are doing this, and I'm assuming there's a lot of them, aren't sharing that information, rightfully so. So, I mean, that's 17 goals over the course of the season. Sure, that's not nothing, and but at the same time, I don't think that says that suddenly, you take out the 3 shutouts at the end of the year, those numbers change quite a bit, and
sure.
So, of course, it's kind of how you want to sway them.
Well,
so I think Frederik Andersen, personally, is actually better than people think. I could be proven to be wrong, and he could be poor in the series, so be it. I still think he'll be a good goaltender anyways. He's still young.
It seems like the Ducks don't want him to be the guy.
It seems like Bruce Boudreau mishandles goaltenders. Well, it doesn't seem like that. I think he does do that.
Sure, he has a history of doing that in Washington when they had...
He played 3 goalies last year in the playoffs. I mean, I just think, give a guy a chance here.
Yeah.
Gibson's a pretty good goaltender. I don't know a ton about him. I mean, I've heard a lot of good things, but I think Frederik Andersen, the times I've seen him, is pretty solid, athletic, big guy. I think he's a pretty talented player, so I'd give him a shot.
I know, and to be honest with you, having goaltending controversy is no really. We've seen that this season in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
You saw it in 3 or 4 years in Vancouver. And I agree with Richie. Frederik Andersen's an excellent goaltender. And when the Ducks were here in early December, the game that we talked about, the Ducks really won convincingly. I think that was his 22nd start in a row. I think he went on to start something like 25 games. I don't have it in front of me. And he struggled a little bit down the stretch, as did the Ducks. But I think that if you think that Frederik Andersen is a weak goaltender, isn't very good, if you compare the numbers, similar amount of games played, 54, 35 wins, 3 shutouts. I think Pavlik had, 5? So Pavlik's got a couple more shutouts. His save percentage is a little bit better, right? So the advantage right now goes to Andre Pavlik, not just because of those numbers, Drew.
The Jets are better defensively, than Anaheim.
But because Andre Pavlik finished the season not allowing a goal in three straight road games. That's why Andrei Pavlik really gets the advantage, because the way he played at the end of the season, not just throughout the season, but towards the end of the season, Frederik Andersen struggled a little bit, and Andrei Pavlik played better.
True, now, but it's been a week. I mean, he's going to have a week between games. Yeah. Does that suddenly carry over? Bad goal in the first period? Does it carry over? I don't know. I just love how everybody, you know, is Pavlik's is needs to be done and gone, and then suddenly now he's a big advantage over Andersen. I don't think so. I think they're both athletic netminders. I think they're pretty similar, actually, to be honest. I think there's some talent there. They haven't necessarily been, you know, kind of distinguished themselves from the top 15, 20 guys in the league, but there's some potential there, and both teams see it. Both teams are also worried about if it comes to fruition. So I think, you know, take a step back. There are questions both ways. If I'm Anaheim, I would go with Andersen. He played 55 games, as he mentioned. He's been your guy. Gibson's a bit hurt. You can go to the youngster if he struggles. But if he struggles, you're going to be in a hole already. Same with Hutchinson. You see Hutchinson in this series, the Jets are going to be probably in a hole.
You shouldn't see Michael Hutchinson, really, or John Gibson, unless one team is down two games, I think. I think the goalie would probably be struggling. If you lose a couple overtime games, Drew,
you're not going to make
that
a change.
I don't think that there's as big of a question mark. John Gibson has been the de facto goalie of the future for the Ducks for some time now. He was excellent as a junior and as American goaltender, and you know he's got lots of talent, and he might eventually evolve as that goaltender. But with his injury concerns, you know, he hasn't been practicing, as we talked about. Freddie Anderson's been your guy. So that, to me, that goaltending matchup, you know, you can throw in, I know a lot has been made of Andrei Pavlik. This is his first NHL playoff experience, but he's got the Calder Cup playoff experience. He's played in the NHL now for a long time. I don't think that's as big of a factor. I think, you know, you have to make some adjustments in a series, Drew, but I don't think that that's somehow going to be a knock against Andrei Pavlik. He's been playing excellent as of late. He really has. He's the hottest goaltender over the last 2 weeks of the season.
Didn't get to the power play quickly on the power play. Remember last year when the Jets had an issue? They didn't have a guy to play the left side of their format of the umbrella, the 1-3-1, and they didn't even go to it. It took them long to go to it even this year, I thought. Too long to go to it. But they did, and they made a nice adjustment. The puck has been moving better. What does Anaheim lack to be able to facilitate that power play?
The guy on the left side?
Yeah, and I mean, they let Perreault go. I don't recall what their format was last year, but the guy on the left side to facilitate, you can see in this offense that they don't necessarily have a guy on the other side to play it. A lot of their talent's right-handed shooting. So that's a factor to play to take into account when the penalty kill is defending against the power play in Anaheim.
Anaheim 28th on the power play, 15.7%. The Jets 17th on the power play, 17.8%. But in the three games that Anaheim played against the Jets, the Ducks went 5-for-16, 31% success rate on the power play. But that's, you know, small sample size, et cetera.
If I recall correctly, I'm not even sure that there's a correlation between special team success in the regular season and the postseason. And I would think that if that is the case, I recall it was, at least for a period of time. If that is the case, it's because you're not going up against 82 teams. You're going up against one team every night. And it's the adjustments you make and the ability to do that is really the telling point in terms of whether you're successful.
Yeah, Richie, if you remember, 2012 LA Kings had a horrible power play. Mm-hmm. 2013 Chicago Blackhawks didn't have a very good power play. They both won the cup that year. So, I mean, I'm not saying that the Anaheim Ducks are going to win the cup. I'm just saying that, you know, the regular season success of the power play doesn't necessarily translate to playoff success. I think if you're looking at that, though, it is a question mark for the Anaheim Ducks, because the power play struggled. Yeah. And it might have been good against the Jets, but to me, I don't think you read too much into that. But, and especially for the Jets, because the Jets had a bottom five ranked power play, and as Richie mentioned, they worked on it. They got a lot better as the season
changed
progressed.
Changed the format, yep. And that's the key. And as another thing is the key for Anaheim, you ought to watch for. They got big bodies in front, right? I mean, you look at Perry, Getzlaff, and who else? Maroon, yep. Velasquez, big guys.
Yep.
So I mean, you got to watch for that. I think that's going to be very important. But moving the puck around the outside is also going to be important. I think there's an edge there.
Let's head to break. When we come back, Dan Wood, Anaheim Ducks radio analyst, is going to join us. You're listening to NHL Midweek. We're live on TSN 1290.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.
You're listening to NHL Midweek on TSN 1290. We are previewing the Jets and the Ducks series. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, alongside Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve, facebook.com/IllegalCurve, and our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Dan Wood, the Anaheim Ducks radio color analyst. Dan, good evening, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me, guys.
Dan obviously brought you on to talk about the series, which gets underway Thursday in Anaheim. And if you look at all the experts, or the so-called experts throughout the NHL, a surprising number of them, to our perspective, are picking the Jets to beat the Ducks, even though the Ducks were the number one team in the Western Conference. Do you think that the Ducks are being overlooked as we enter into this playoff series?
I don't know whether the Ducks are being overlooked, but I really am not surprised at all the projections saying the Jets will win. And I say that because I think whoever the Ducks would have played, people making predictions are always looking for where they can find an upset. And nobody wants to pick the top team in all eight series. So you're looking for places to try to find an upset. And the Ducks are a popular pick to be upset for a variety of reasons. If you look at a lot of numbers, special teams, goal differential, things of that nature, people ask, you know, how have the Ducks gotten to where they are? And it's a fair question because there isn't an awful lot impressive about this team with regard to numbers other than the fact that they win games and they win an awful lot of close games. So, you know, that combined with how well the Jets played down the stretch, the fact the Jets are a tremendous hockey team, I'm not surprised people are picking the Jets to win, and I personally think this series is about as close to a toss-up as you can get.
Dan, over the last hour, we've been going over some of the matchups, and we talked about Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry being kind of one of the key matchups that the Jets are going to have to deal with. As far as you're concerned, is it that matchup? And if it isn't that matchup for you, what's the key matchup in this series?
Well, certainly that's a big one. You know, the Ducks need Getzlaff and Perry to excel in order to win. You know, they can win a game here or there without Getzlaff and Perry showing up on the score sheet, certainly. But over the course of a best-of-seven series, they're going to need those guys to be good. So on the flip side, though, I mean, I think if you look at Winnipeg's top line, the Ducks have to be concerned about that, and I'm sure the Jets feel like those guys have to produce. You know, I'm not a coach, but I'm thinking in terms of, from a Ducks perspective, if you put Ryan Kessler's line, whoever he plays against, or plays with, pardon me, if you put that line against the Jets' top line from a Ducks perspective, if you can get a push there, you have to feel pretty good about your chances. So I don't think it's that different for either team. They're going to have to be aware of the other club's top players, and as usually is the case, whichever team's top players are better, that's the team that will win the series.
Dan, you mentioned Ryan Kessler, and he's played a little bit less this year than he has in past years in Vancouver, and the Ducks, of course, acquired him to excel in the playoffs. Do you see his role increasing in the playoffs in terms of ice time and maybe team relying on him, excuse me, a little bit more because of obviously the stakes are higher?
I think so. I think that would have been the case anyway, and particularly with the uncertainty regarding the availability of Nate Thompson, who is a pretty key guy in the middle for the Ducks. I think if Nate Thompson is not playing, Ryan Getzlaff and Ryan Kessler will be probably playing an extra minute or two than they might have otherwise. So, you know, Ryan Kessler was brought to Anaheim, and he came to Anaheim in his mind to win in the postseason. So he had a good regular season. He was at his best in the larger games against the bigger rivals, specifically the Los Angeles Kings, and I expect him to be at his best in the playoffs. That's why the Ducks got him, and that's what he came here to do. He said so immediately. He's coming here to win a Stanley Cup, so we'll see.
You know, when you look at the top three guys in the Ducks, forward-wise, Dan, they're clearly Getzlaff, Perry, and Kessler, but looking for other guys to make a difference, and in the playoffs it really is those other guys that a lot of the time make the difference. Matt Pileski is a player that stands out to me, you know, notwithstanding the fact that he's going to be a UFA, but his game seems more suited to the playoffs. Bigger guy, get in on the forecheck and shoot the puck. Is he going to be a guy who might get a little bit more attention this playoffs than he would otherwise because of the skill set that he has?
I think that's a real good point, and I think particularly in this series against this opponent, because of the style and the strengths that the Jets have, I think Matt Pileski figures to be a really important guy for the Ducks. He has a tremendous shot. He is capable of scoring goals from almost anywhere in the offensive zone. And he can also play that big, physical, grinding, banging game that I think we're going to see in this series. So I would identify him as a key support guy for the Ducks. You know, not the only one. I would also look at Kyle Palmieri, Jakob Silverberg, Patrick Maroon, who kind of fits the same mold as Matt Beleski as a power forward type. He will be very important in this series. And, you know, we talked earlier about the top players. They have to be good, but they can't be the only ones who are good. You know, for each team, the support guys have to play their roles as well.
We're joined on NHL Midweek by Dan Wood. Dan is the Anaheim Ducks color analyst, obviously previewing Thursday night's Game 1 between the Jets and the Ducks. Dan, you look at the Ducks goaltending situation, and last year in the playoffs, Bruce Boudreau used three different goaltenders throughout the course of the two rounds that the Ducks played. And then this year, you have both Frederik Andersen and John Gibson. Gibson a little banged up now. Can somebody make the argument that it's a bit of a blessing in disguise with Gibson's injury, that they're going to have to ride with Frederik Andersen as the number one goaltender, at least to start the series, and there's no real possibility of Jason LaBarbera coming in as a replacement?
Well, you could make that argument. Personally, I wouldn't buy the argument. I would rather have John Gibson healthy and available, and I think there's a good chance that he will be early in the series. But Frederik Andersen was going to be the starting goaltender in Game 1. That had not been announced. You know, no one had said that, but I think those of us around the team realized that Freddie was going to be the guy. And then, you know, John Gibson would be in reserve if needed because of injury or whatever. Now, I personally believe the Ducks' strength is their depth, and that's pretty much all over the ice, certainly in goal. I've heard other commentators talk about the Ducks and St. Louis, for example, with Jake Allen and Brian Elliott, how some commentators seem to think somehow that is a disadvantage to have two goaltenders rather than one clear-cut guy. I think that's crazy talk. The Ducks relied on John Gibson and Frederik Andersen a lot at different times this season, and if they have the lengthy playoff run that they hope to have, I would be stunned if they don't use both of those guys at various times. So, you know, I want John Gibson healthy ASAP and available because I think they will use both those guys.
Dan, who do you think has the coaching advantage in this series, and how important is this series for Bruce Boudreau based on the fact that the Ducks weren't able to go far last year?
Well, interesting. If you want to talk coaches, Paul Maurice, I remember when I covered the San Jose Sharks back in the early 1990s, the Sharks were in Hartford when Paul Maurice made his NHL head coaching debut, if I remember correctly, at the ripe old age of 28. So it's kind of interesting to me, here we are 20-plus years later, and you know, I'm working a series where Paul Maurice is behind a bench. I have a ton of respect for Paul. I think he's a great coach. You know, I won't pretend to be knowledgeable enough to tell you that Bruce Boudreau or Paul Maurice is a better coach than the other. I think they're both tremendous coaches. I do think this is an important playoff for Bruce Boudreau because, you know, his reputation of not doing as well in the playoffs as his teams have done in the regular season, that's been well chronicled. The Ducks now a third consecutive division title, a second consecutive first place finish in the conference. There are huge expectations here. The Kings are out. The Sharks, another team that gave the Ducks fits this season, they're out. With all due respect to the Winnipeg Jets, the Calgary Flames, and the Vancouver Canucks, you could make the argument that the top four teams in the conference, other than the Ducks, are in the other bracket here with St. Louis, Chicago, Nashville, and Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether that's opportunity, whether it's pressure, I guess you can label it whatever you want, but I think it's a great situation for the Ducks. But again, this series to me is a toss-up, so you got to win one series before you can do a whole lot else.
That's exactly right. Final question for you, Dan. We haven't got into the defense, but really, you know, I look at it on paper, the Jets have a lot of talent, especially in terms of moving the puck, but the Ducks can move the puck as well. Do you think is this series going to come down to how that second pairing for Anaheim fares, whether it be with Fowler, and I'm not sure if it's going to be with Wisniewski, or it's going to be with somebody else, Dupree or somebody else. Dan, maybe you can shed more light on that, but how important is it going to be for that pairing to be able to defend against the Jets' top two lines?
Well, I think it will be important, and I don't know either what the Ducks' second pair is going to be, because I don't know who their six defensemen that play are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James Wisniewski, Clayton Stoner, and Simone Dupree pick two of those three, and they're going to play with Beauchemin, Lindholm, Fowler, and Vatanen, and that may vary from game to game, too. Certainly it is going to be important for a pair other than Beauchemin and Lindholm to be able to play against the Jets' top line, because that'll happen certainly
right
when the series shifts to Winnipeg. Simone Dupree has been a revelation. I think when the Ducks got him, my expectation was that he was more of a guy for the future. But as well as he has played, he has really thrust himself into the mix here as potentially a top four guy in the postseason. And, you know, Clayton Stoner's game lends itself well to Winnipeg's style.
Mm-hmm.
James Wisniewski can be an important guy on the power play. So there again, you talk about the Ducks' depth, just as we did in goal. I think they're going to need all of those guys, and if, as you talk about, one of them steps up to play well with Cam Fowler on the second pairing, all the better for Anaheim.
Dan Wood is the Anaheim Ducks radio analyst. Dan, we appreciate your time this evening. Thanks very much. Enjoy the games in Anaheim, and we'll see you in Winnipeg next week.
Honestly, guys, it is always a pleasure with you. Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that, Dan. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Before we go to break...
Before we get to our predictions, as you get ready there, we've been having Dan on for a long time.
Yeah.
Back when we were on 92.9, and Dan has a really interesting career, quickly. We got a three-hour show, so I can quickly
enlighten
our listeners. He mentions his time as a beat writer in San Jose. He was a beat writer with the San Jose Sharks when they came into the league.
Mm-hmm.
He then became a beat writer for the Anaheim Ducks, a great beat writer, by the way, and then he became the color commentator for the Ducks on the radio. Really, so many different perspectives from him. Very eloquent as he is. You can hear him there, and so we're looking forward to seeing him. So if you would have said to us, Drew, in all honesty, if you had said to us that we would be interviewing Dan Wood 92.9, say
five, six, seven years ago,
yeah, and then he'd be in town 7 years later for the Ducks to play the Jets in the first round, you'd probably tell all of us we're crazy.
Yeah. For the record, Dan mentioned that first Paul Maurice game when he was behind the bench for the Whalers. Remus looked it up. The Whalers beat the San Jose Sharks 7-3 that game. That was November 7th, 1995.
Wow.
So almost 20 years ago.
Drew was in his 30s back then.
That's right.
Predictions, boys. We've talked about the forwards. We've talked about the defense. We've talked about the goaltending. We've talked about special teams. We've talked about coaching.
I'm going to give you a game-by-game rundown of how I see this thing going.
Game-by-game. Are you going to give us goal scorer by
not
goal scorer?
I'm probably going to be completely wrong because predictions are not my thing. I think the Jets win game one, lose game two, win game three, lose game four, lose game five, win game six. And I've gone back and forth on this all week, really, but I think the Jets do lose in game seven overtime.
So Ducks in seven in overtime.
It's going to be a great series. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great quality hockey, and with top-end talent playing at its best, it's going to be great.
Ezzy.
You know, Richie, it's interesting that you think the Jets are going to win game one, because as we know, if you look at the stats, and this isn't an exact number, but it's roughly, if the home team wins game one, they have about a 70% chance of winning the series, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that would be huge if the Jets could win game one. Drew, I've gone back and forth on this for the last 3 days, you know, building up to this show here since we found out on Saturday. And, you know, even though I think the top-end talent, when you look at Ryan Getzlaff and Corey Perry, those are two of the best players in the world, and they have the Olympic golds and the Stanley Cups to prove it. I think that there's something about this Jets team and the way that they've played. I think it's going to be very close.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, the Winnipeg Jets have proved us wrong time and time again, you know, when we thought they were out after those losses to the Rangers and the Hawks,
mm-hmm,
you know, they came back and you know, they went on a nice run there to end the season. And Andre Pavlik's emergence, you know, and he's playing the best hockey of his career. I still got to go with the Jets in seven. And, you know, as far as the game-by-game breakdown, I agree with Richie. I think the Jets are going to win the first game. I think there's going to be a split in the first four games. And then I think after that, I mean...
It's a best-of-three series. I think it's a best-of-three series,
but I think, you know, this we're not going to... I don't think we're going to see a team win two games in a row in this series. That's how close I think it's going to be.
I'm going to echo your comments, Ezzy, with regards to the prediction. I think also it's the Jets in seven, and it's going to be, I mean, you can pretty much flip a coin. It's going to be that close. But I do think it comes down to, and I don't know why, but there does seem to be a little bit of magic behind this team right now, and I think they do take it in seven games as well. Remus agreed with us, also Jets in seven.
I'm the bad one here.
You're the bad one here, but you articulated yourself so well.
Oh, thank you.
Let's go to break. When we come back, we'll look around the entire NHL, the rest of the playoff series, previews to come, and Eric the Hatchick of the Globe and Mail at the top of the next hour.
This is NHL Midweek, the podcast on TSN 1290.ca.